You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am a staff writer at Indy Cornrows, and joining me on the other line for now, it's on a Tuesday instead of Monday just because of scheduling issues, is Tony East after this terrible, disappointing Pacer loss that they should have won, right?
I mean, their first quarter was horrible, and then they just played their game the whole way to get back, and then just a bonehead play right at the end, and they lose. So disappointing.
Yeah, it felt like all game. So they would kind of cut the lead to 9, and they'd shoot themselves in the foot, make a bad pass, have a steal and not score, or something stupid like that, and they basically shot themselves in the foot the entire game.
It was like 2 steps forward, 1 step back for like 3 quarters.
Yeah, we don't want to harp on the ending too much because it just sucked. But obviously, Bojan. So the Pacers had the ball.
Thaddeus Young threw the ball in play to Corey Joseph on the wing. Corey gets a double teamed by
Kyrie came over.
Yeah, and so he passed it to Bojan. Okay, first of all, Corey Joseph's made 17 free throws in a row, right? So Corey
gets fouled. Make both.
Yeah. Get fouled, make both. Corey passes to Bojan, who's made 19 free throws in a row and is like a 90% free throw shooter. Get fouled, make both. He tries to throw a lob pass over to Oladipo, and Terry Rozier is kind of far off of him, so I get how a double team's Bojan. Maybe he didn't see him, but he threw the ball so high up that Rozier just ran up from the top of the key, stole it, ran down, dunked.
He would have been better off just throwing the ball down low and getting it stolen.
I know.
If he just chucked it to like threw it up high, down low, by the time somebody caught the ball, it would have been not enough time left, and there would have been – because they're actually – I think Sabonis was standing down low, wide open too.
Yeah. Oh, well, and Vic had 38, so I bet the play was, all right, try to take some time off the clock with passes, let him get 40, we'll win, and then it just fell apart.
Yeah. Celtics are pretty good out of timeouts. They made one bad out of timeout play, and they made up for it at the end.
Kyrie was just killing it.
Well, and clearly Brad Stevens was like just triple team the guy in the corner and make a stupid play, because that's the only way they were going to win. I mean, maybe if they make both 50s, they hit a three, but they had no timeouts left, like – just get fouled with 5 seconds left. They'll have to run the full court. You can double team Kyrie, so then it's like a Marcus Smart, which I guess he's been great from Indiana, but still, it's somebody worse shooting a three trying to win it. Ugh. Frustrating the way the ending went.
It was. I mean, and they started off down like, 12-0. The Celtics made their first 10 shots. Like,
they're down 7.
The very beginning and the very end of the game is the most troubling parts, but
yeah,
they won in a heartbreaking loss. The Bulls also just won their 6th game in a row beating the Sixers, so that's hilarious, but anyway.
Yeah, that's after they lost the Pacers and that nail biter. They turned it around a little bit. That's interesting to watch. They play the Bulls coming up soon.
They did. But
the beginning of the game, I mean, this is one of those games where if they had lost by 20, it would have been less disappointing.
I know.
Because it was a scheduled loss in a sense. They played last night in Brooklyn. For some reason, they played the Celtics came home to play the Celtics, which like kind of made no sense, right? Why would they not travel to Boston? I mean, there's some scheduling on that one to get off with. And so they should have just lost. By 20 makes sense. They're tired, whatever. But then they came back and had to lose in like terrible fashion.
No, and Vic had a great fourth quarter and almost let him back. Like it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. So let's lead to our next point then. So we can harp on how frustrating this game was. So Victor Oladipo had another fantastic week. 26, 26, 38 were his numbers, I believe, for the week. And it seems like every week he is. Short. So we're talking about this before the game. Is how much better is Kyrie than Oladipo? And I think every week the gap is getting shorter and shorter.
You know what's crazy? How spoiled we are by Oladipo is like he scores 26, and throughout the whole game, I'm like, man, Vic's having a bad game. And then I look, and he finishes with 26 points. I'm like, oh wow, he was amazing. And I just didn't notice because he's been scoring over 30 so often this year.
Yeah, I think in the month of December, he's got 4 games over 30 now.
Yeah, he's 4 games over 35 on the whole season, which matches his career numbers before this year, which is insane.
Yeah. I mean, we agree now he's the second best guard in the East, right?
Absolutely. Well, this season, for sure. Like, no doubt it's like Kyrie. And like, their stats look similar on paper, but Kyrie's been so good in the clutch that he's number one to me. But Vic is clearly number two now.
But we were talking about it at the end of the game. I mean, Kyrie and Oladipo went toe for toe in clutch.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't Oladipo's fault. The Pacers blew the game. It was Bojan's fault, to be honest.
Well, and you got to harp on Nate here for leaving Domas in on those defensive plays because Sabonis could not come out on Kyrie on those screen plays, and Kyrie was just wide open for threes when Horford would screen.
Yeah, the only thing, it looked like Turner had an ice pack on his neck. At the end. I know. So I don't know whether he was maybe just resting him a little bit from the back to back.
Before the game, he had the thigh injury. He was a game time decision. So I get why Al Jefferson played because of that, but I didn't think they'd close with Sabonis.
Yeah, he had a good night though. He had 18 points. I mean, he
did. No, he played really well on offense. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he wasn't terrible. And they finally got the spark when they got Stevenson, and he actually made some rebounds.
Yeah.
They were struggling to box up guys. What a shock there. That's not news all week. What was that? They lost to Detroit because of that same reason, basically, because they couldn't box anybody out. They lost to Oklahoma City for the same reason. I mean, we talked about that game already on our last show, so we don't talk about that one. But that's been the story, but they're not boxing guys out on the offensive end and getting just crushed on offensive rebounds sometimes.
Yeah, 10 rebounds for Horford. They tied the rebounding battle overall, but Horford had 10. The most any Pacer had is 7.
Yeah. Like just a couple encouraging signs from this game is they managed to score 111 points on one of the best defenses in the NBA, right? What's the fourth ranked defense right now?
Oh, yeah. I think they're higher than that.
And they did that by scoring only 21 in the first quarter. So that's impressive. I mean, that's, we're looking at some positives. I mean, they don't look.
They scored 4 points the first 6 minutes.
Yeah, the Celtics defense looked really solid for 2.5 quarters. They kind of slowed up. But, I mean, another thing is the Celtics. So the first game the Celtics played, Oladipo didn't play, so it's kind of a throwout. But this was a game where everybody was healthy and everybody played a back-to-back, and they still went toe-to-toe with this team in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I don't know how much the gap is between the Pacers and Celtics for sure right now, is all I'm trying to say.
Oh, no. Well, this season because of no Hayward, but
yes. Oh.
Year they're close.
So I'm projecting out because Pacers are going to end up in the playoffs probably between the 5 and the 8 seed, right? So there's a chance they could play Celtics in the first round or the second round if they make it. So this is a team they're going to see again probably. So it's just trying to projecting whether they – in a playoff series, whether they could win a couple games. Could they, the Celtics players, we talk about them being in the playoffs last year, deep run, but almost none of those guys are on their team. Kyrie Horford are the only guys with playoff experience. Then you got a bunch of rookies and second-year guys who have never really played in a lot of playoff games, so –
Yeah, for sure. Well, but Tatum was amazing in this game.
Oh, he was
6 of 8 shooting and 2 just insane dunks. He stretches the floor. He's really good.
Yeah. No, if it wasn't for Ben Simmons, he'd be rookie of the year.
Well, yeah. Those Mitchell, him, and Simmons have been amazing NBA players as rookies. It's crazy.
I mean, even Brown in his second year has looked really good for his stretches in this game. Got a lot of
I didn't hear you talked about this, by the way. Speaking of rookies, it happened. TJ Leaf went to the Mad Ants. You're probably so stoked about that.
Yes, I was very happy. He needs to bulk up a bunch.
Getting some reps. He had 30 points tonight. There's our touching on TJ Leaf. 30 points in the Mad Ants win. Over 30, I think.
Which we said would definitely happen, actually.
Yeah.
We were talking about, if he goes to the D-League, he'll probably just carve teams up because he's a great scorer. So he's gonna.
Maybe we can talk about that Friday. We'll have to do that. Anyway.
Yeah, we can do that later. But then kind of speaking of second or third year player. So Miles Turner had a pretty awful week, I would say, right?
Week, yes.
So I believe before coming into the week, Turner had back to back or 24 point games, 20 point games in 2 of the last 3 games, but then he struggled mightily the rest of the week.
He did well against Detroit. I think that's when he had 24.
But didn't he get out rebounded by Drummond, it seemed like, all night?
Well, everyone is, but he had a lot. He had 8 rebounds in that game. He did okay.
He's just, I'm saying Oklahoma. So I'm thinking Oklahoma City game, he looked pretty bad. He looked fine against the Nets, but the Nets are an easy team to beat and looked pretty awful tonight.
Oh, yeah. He only had 3 shots in this game. 3 shots. I mean, Horford was shutting him down like so well. So they'd run the pick and pops, and Horford is a master of staying in the exact perfect spot on the court to stop both the man driving and the pop. So it was you could tell they could Lance could not get that pocket pass off, and when Collison kind of swings wide and to look for his mid range or the pass, neither of them were there. He did a great job, but it's inexplicable that he only got 3 shots.
Yeah, Horford does this stance where his arm is out and his one arm is bent, and he does a really good job just playing defense.
Yeah.
But so I would say Turner struggled with partially because he hasn't got the ball in good spots, but he clearly can't create his own shot. But is that what you think why he hasn't got it?
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Well, he was – and, that's probably why – not even probably. That's why he was so effective next to George and Jeff Teague, is those two guys are so good at creating shots for themselves and others. And now Vic's that guy too. But in this game, they were very effective at stopping the pass from Vic to Turner or from whoever.
Yeah, and also part of it is he plays it with a bench unit sometimes, and Stevenson is not that great at getting him open for shots.
No. Well, because that's because no one's afraid of Stevenson shooting.
Which actually is like up to 31%, I think, or over some games. Like he's not in the gutter anymore, let's put it that way.
Yeah, Scalabrine was making fun of him like the whole game. It was pretty
funny. Oh, so you listen to the Celtics feed, I'm assuming.
I always listen to the road broadcast.
I can't stand the Celtics feed. It's the worst.
They were really – oh, man, I'm going to rant about this. I tweeted about it. So Domantas Sabonis hits a beautiful pick-and-pop jumper, probably 22 feet, so just barely inside the three-point line. And Scalabrine says, hopefully he misses that shot as the game goes on. I was like, dude, you can't literally be rooting for the Celtics.
You can.
No, they're analysts. They're not fans.
Not on the Celtics broadcast. I'll tell you that.
I know. And I heard that. What's his name? Tommy Wisnow or whatever is even worse, but whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
No, it's they're not a great broadcast to listen to. Boston is not the greatest broadcast to watch, listen to any kind of sport on. I don't want to watch any homers on that from that city, basically, for any team.
For Turner.
But back to Turner. Yeah. Back to Turner. You know, he's gone through a couple of these stretches, like that. He had a thigh coming in, so maybe he's a little dinged up. That's why he's not playing so well, because he had a stretch when he came back from injury where he kind of struggled for a little bit. So maybe he turns it around. They got some easy opponents coming up. Fans are worried about him. But remember, Victor Oladipo didn't make his leap till now his fifth season is. So, you know, he's only in his third season. So if he didn't make a huge leap yet, he still could. He's only 21 years old. So I think there needs to be still some like calm down on Turner. He's not a fantastic player yet, but he could still be.
And he's been the best defensive player by a mile. So.
Yeah, he has defense now. I mean, he is, I would argue, one of the best defensive centers in the league at this point.
Great. He didn't. Oh my gosh, his block streak is over. I didn't even realize that.
No, did they not count that block on the jump ball for him, or was that block by Oladipo?
It says zero in the box score.
So there was a play they talked about early on where he, I can't remember what the name is, either Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart, somebody, he went to the rim and he kind of blocked it, but it went down to the ground with the ball in his hand. A jump ball type of thing? I don't know. But they said that my ball would not have gotten blocked there too.
That's sad. I didn't even notice that until just now. That was a live reaction on the pod of me being
still leads the league in blocks. I haven't played.
Still leads the league in blocks by a couple, quite a few.
Hadn't played probably the least amount of games in
Brown. Yeah, he's doing wonderful job protecting the rim. So that's been good. I just want them to. I don't know what the answer is, because I don't know really what he wants to do. But I think they need to run more plays that let him either create out of the post or just like there's a way that he gets. I know the pick and pop is like a play for him, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like short post, or he has an opportunity to do something with the ball that he can be creative and involved.
No, I understand, because he doesn't really have any signature move we think about.
Right.
A lot of his game is he sets a pick and rolls out, gets a jump up, or he gets a kind of cutting ball, gets the lane, gets the pass to him perfectly timed, and he goes to the rim. That's kind of been his bread and butter. But if there's got to be a way, you got to think if you could get, like on a transition play, get a shorter guy switched onto him and let him post him up, kind of the way Sabonis does. I don't know if Turner has that quite as repertoire, but I know he's working on it. That would be kind of a thing. That you can work on.
He's been doing that Dirk fadeaway a little bit the last couple of games, which has been
wasn't bad at that.
He's good at it, yeah.
And you got to think though, just I mean, he's still super young. That he's gonna with his he's got a pretty good ball handling skills. That he'll develop a way to get the ball to the perimeter and score from there in some way. He just to kind of work on that a bunch.
Yeah, I agree. And once they figure out the plays that really work for him in terms of him being creative and not just popping, you know, I think he'll be a lot more effective as an offensive player.
Yeah, and if he can get his ball handling down and be able to run next to Oladipo almost like a point center in some sense, that he might
be
comfortable. I mean, maybe he won't ever reach that because that's another level, but if he could reach that level, would be one of the most unstoppable duos in this NBA.
Yeah, for definitely, you know. And he's been pretty good at that, you know, cross court to the weak side corner pass this year already when he gets doubled. So you know he can do it. He just doesn't have the chance a lot.
Yeah, and that's I think part of that is Oladipo is sort of just absorb the Paul George shots instead of like it being redistributed in a little bit less. Basically, it was just taking them all in some sense.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But he deserved it. He's been killing it at the end of games, and he's scoring 30. He's scoring 25 a game, more than Paul George scored last year. So
and more efficiently. So he should keep shooting.
Yes, he should. Anything else on this week you wanted to talk about?
One thing from this game: Domantas Sabonis took what might have been his first right-handed shot of the season. He went left shoulder on that hook shot in the fourth, and he completely bricked it. But he did it, and that is big steps for him.
Yeah, he has unbelievable touch around the rim. Like, just being able to, like, slip under guys and bank it off the glass. He had one shot where I think – like, he threw it off the glass as hard as he could and it banked in. Like,
he, like, stays on balance when people bump him and he goes under him. And
great footwork.
Crazy. Yeah, he's so good down
there. So good with that pivot foot, like, sliding around. Like,
yeah.
Like, he'll get called for traveling occasionally, but, like, it's so rare considering how much he does it. And he'll, like – yeah, he has some dynamics where I think hopefully he could kind of fill in that Thad Young role at some point.
Yeah, me too. But no, I got nothing else. I was happy he shot with the right hand, though, showing that he's trying to get it better.
So as much as the Celtics team stunk, there were some positives, right?
Yeah. Well, sorry, one more thing. Al Jefferson played 3 minutes, his first game in like a month, and he was a -3.
Yeah, what? Because Turner's injury partially and partially the back-to-back probably.
Yeah, and he took two shots, and one of them was good and one was not, but whatever.
Yeah, so, you know.
This is what it is.
This was kind of a schedule loss, so let's put it in that. You know, the Pacers' schedule lights up coming up over the next week, and that's what we're talking about next. So the Pacers' upcoming week is – first game is be after tonight's game will be Wednesday at Atlanta and Saturday at home against the Nets. I'll be going to that game, I think, with my dad. Tony and I might not be on until after the 27th, so we might go ahead and preview the choice game. Do you want to do that, or do you want to wait to hold that off?
We'll figure it out.
All right. So to the end of the year, the Pacers play Atlanta, Brooklyn, Detroit, Dallas, Chicago, Minnesota. So all winnable games, you know, Minnesota's at home. Detroit's a tough team, but the rest of those are all teams. Dallas, Chicago, Brooklyn, and Atlanta are pretty awful teams. But let's start off. Let's just preview this Atlanta Hawks team. Do you have their numbers up, Tony?
Oh, shoot. I don't. Hang on.
All right.
Sorry. I was doing the plus minuses from last week because I forgot to do the math before we started, and I didn't pull up the Hawks or the Nets numbers, even though they just played the Nets. All right. The Hawks are 21st in offense, 29th in defense, and 12th in pace.
All right. So they're, I guess, one in the top half, top third speed.
They play fast and then they shoot an inefficient. Well, actually, I saw this stat one time that was really interesting. Is they've only run 12 post-ups like the whole season. And it was like through the end of November. Like the Spurs ran like 10 post-ups per game. The Hawks had run 12 the whole season.
Yes. So they're 7-23, which is, I think, is it now the worst in the NBA?
That is last in the league, but they did just win against the Heat, which is impressive.
That makes sense.
They do have the worst record.
Because the Bulls have been on a tear recently. So they've also lost 4 of the last 5. This shouldn't be a tough game for the Pacers. Atlanta is just not a good team. They kind of play a little bit similar to the Nets, but actually worse than the Nets, if that's even possible in some sense.
Their best player is Dennis Schroeder, who's just not that great. And then they had Dwayne Dedman, who's pretty good. He's like a bouncy big man who can kind of shoot a little this year. And now he has a stress reaction in his left tibia, and he's going to miss like 6 weeks. And Mike Muscala is a pretty good stretchy big, and he's missed like a month and a half with an ankle injury. So they're playing like Miles Plumlee in the post and, you know, former Pacer Miles Plumlee, excuse me. And, you know, they just don't have like the guys. Like John Collins looks pretty exciting. But other than that, they don't have a lot going on.
They ripped out their entire core of Horford, Millsap, Teague, and Cordero, all now playing on competitive playoff teams, to basically go in all-in tank mode to get, what, Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter, or Luka Doncic?
Yeah, well, to be fair, they got a first-round pick out of Korver. They got a first-round pick out of Millsap. They got a first-round pick out of Jeff Teague. So outside of Horford, they did a good job, like, with the slow rebuild. It's just this is going to be their worst year of it.
Yeah, and I don't know. Torian Prince is the guy they got for Teague, right?
He's been good. He's been one of their best players. Yeah.
But he's probably not better than Teague.
Well, he'll have more total value than 1 year of Teague for them.
That's true. But it'd be interesting to hindsight 2020. It would be better the Pacers to have Torian Prince or Jeff Teague, I guess, in hindsight.
Or George Hill.
Yeah, but George Hill was gone in year two, probably, theoretically.
I love George Hill.
I know you do.
I wanted to keep George Hill.
This is not about George Hill right now. We're not playing the Kings.
I know. Okay. The Hawks. Yes. So the Hawks, most common starting lineup is, or the most recent starting lineup appears to be Schroeder, Prince, Bazemore, Ilyasova, and Dedman. And outside of Schroeder, like if you could shut him down, I don't know who can create a shot in that group.
I don't think you need to shut down Schroeder. You just let him get the 20 points and you just score more, right? I mean,
his effective field goal percentage is below 50. He is not an efficient player.
Yeah. There's not much in the Hawks team that actually scares me. On the other side for the Pacers, they should be able to – this might be a Turner game, to be honest.
I was going to say that too.
So we'll see how he is injury-wise, because if he's actually hurt, it must be a good game to not play him because they don't need him either. They could probably get away with playing Jefferson for a few minutes, to be honest, and in which that kind of makes a change. They get away with it, but no, this is just – they only play two games in the next 6-5 days, right?
They play twice until Christmas, and then they play a back-to-back the 2 days after Christmas.
Okay, so but that's – you know, that's still a lot of rest for these guys, which is good because they've been playing a lot of minutes recently, but this should be an easy game, right? I mean, this might be a game where Oladipo's 40 points again if he wants. I don't know, because a lot of those blowout games doesn't have 40 because they pass the ball a lot.
Well, not even that like, besides the Hawks are just the worst team in the NBA record-wise, I think they match up really well, right? Like, Schroeder can't really like, Schroeder and Collison are almost the same player, and Oladipo is so much better than either Prince or Bazemore, and, you know, Bojan can shoot, so he can match up fine with anybody, and neither Prince nor Bazemore can beat him off the dribble just because they're not very good at that. And their post players just aren't that good. So, you know, I mean, for how bad their starting lineup is, their bench is even worse. So I think this is a good matchup game beyond them just not being good.
Yeah, and they don't have, like you were saying, they don't have any of, like, what kills the Pacers on the bad team is, like, Lauri Markkanen, like a really good small forward, power forward type of guy who just can beat Bojan all day, basically.
Yeah, who can create a shot off the dribble.
Yeah, and this they just don't. That's another positive for the Pacers. I would say, probably, if it's a blowout, it'll be an evenly distributed game. Usually when the Pacers blow teams out, they're moving at such a high pace, that's what leads to the blowout, that they 15 to 20 points just because they're so open.
Yeah, well, and it really depends because, like, the Hawks beat the Heat tonight. They like, have a way to win games. I wish I saw the box score of that game so I could talk more about how they did it. But, like, there's a – so Torian Prince had 24 and Dennis Schroeder had 23. So, you know, if they can get their starters going, they might, like, be in the game, but I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, but the Heat also just aren't that impressive of a team this year.
No, they're not.
Thought they were going to be.
No, they've been worse than I thought, but still losing to the Hawks is.
And Whiteside, I don't think Whiteside played.
He hasn't played in a while.
Or Winslow.
No, he's not. No. So here's the thing. So the Mike Budenholzer system carries on. They lead the league in passes per game. They're second in the league in passes per game. So they're getting everybody involved. They're moving the ball around, which. Hopefully the Pacers don't get beat on any back cuts like they did a million times tonight.
Yeah, I think they'll probably still get beat on that on a bunch of kickarounds, but I think eventually they'll get their hands up and there'll be some deflections by Thad that will lead to some fast break points. You know, that's the
Pacers. That's his thing. Yeah, that's true.
But that's just how they beat when they end up blowing teams out. It's because they deflect 15 balls and they end up turning it into like 15, 20 points.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's second in the league at that. We talked about that before. This could be a good game for him, especially because. You know, Ilyasova's kind of stretchy, but he's really slow, so you can easily keep around him and not have him be a big threat and still be in the passing lanes for deflections.
So who's your butcher on the Atlanta Hawks team?
I mean, Schroeder's like the obvious pick because he's the only guy who can actually score. Their second highest score is under 13 points a game, and Schroeder's at almost 20. His stats look great just because he's on such a – like, you know how we used to make fun of the Nets players and the Sixers players because it's unfair that they have crazy stats on these bad teams? Well, that's how the Hawks are this
year. Carter Williams.
You know, I if the Pacers lose, I feel like someone on the wing is going to have a good game. So, you know, the butcher, if they lose, is either going to be Bazemore or Prince. But, yeah, Schroeder's probably my butcher just because I feel like he's the most likely to have a good game just because the Pacers' defense at the point of attack has been pretty bad recently, and he's really fast.
Yeah, my thought was Bazemore's going to have to basically carry the team if they're going to win this game. Like, he's going to have a nice 20-point, 25. Him and Prince combined might have 50 points kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they can do that, but – you know, I see how they could, given how we defended the perimeter, especially in this Celtics game and recently. But I have the box score for their game against the Heat. They did not even shoot that well from three, but they shot 31 free throws. That was their key to success in this game. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's how much the Pacers shot against the Celtics, almost that much.
Yeah.
So.
And that kept them in it. But, yeah, they weird game for them. But Torian Prince was their best player in this one. So he's a good choice, too, besides Schroeder.
Yes. Then who is your Pacers butcher? I said one. I have another one in my mind. But
Turner would have been my pick, but you already said that, so that's not really fair. But, you know, they don't really have it. Like, if Miles Plumlee and John Collins are their centers, you know, they can't defend in space at all. Collins is a rookie. He's actually looks pretty good. But I don't think either of them can defend Turner that well in space. So So Turner's my pick. You know, I think he's going to get some easy pick and pop shots, and hopefully finally they can get it, really get him going like they did when they traveled to Miami that one game.
I was going to go with maybe because he needs to have a recovery game because he had such a bad game against the Celtics. Would be Bojan Bogdanović.
Yes, I hope so.
Just the kind of, I mean, that
the bungalow is closed for the evening, so we need to reopen soon.
Yeah, if he has a good game, it's a good sign that this team got over that loss pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the type of game where they need to win by 20 just to be like, yeah, we lost Celtics, that sucked, but we're moving on type of thing. I mean,
we lost the Celtics, but they're better than us, so it's okay. Look, we smoked the Hawks.
I mean, they did a decent job of that actually against the Knicks. They lost to the Knicks, and that's that thing they should have blown, and then they came back and had a great first half against the Pelicans. I know they lost that game, but they came out and scored 74 points in the first half. So maybe something like that. And I think unlike the Pelicans, the Hawks don't have enough firepower to get back in the game if the Pacers open up anything like a 10, 15, 20-point lead.
Yeah, definitely. I think I just thought of this randomly. Luke Babbitt's been playing more for them recently, thanks to all their post-injuries, and he is scorching 46% from three. So if he ends up getting a lot of minutes, I would worry about him of having another role player hits crazy amount of threes against the Pacers game.
Yeah, I could see that. I just hope they blow this team out.
I do too.
My score I'm going to give you at first, I think it is a 115-90 win.
Ooh, wow. They have not been playing great recently, so I'll go like 108-100, but I think it looks more lopsided than the final score suggests.
Yeah, you're right. They haven't been playing. They've struggled. What now? It's been four straight games. They basically haven't played that great.
Yeah, I can live with four. They did not. Well, they played okay for like 2.5 quarters of the Celtics game. They played well against the Nets. Let's skip the Nets though. They stunk against.
Yeah, but they've been
under for a majority of the game. Yeah.
Fifth place, but I don't know. They're hitting that midseason woe. They need what they really need is they need Glenn Robinson to come back to spark.
GR3.
I don't know where he's at, but he would just add a little spark to this team. Oh yeah, he's back. Now we have another good player surrounding our guys.
We have a defender.
Yeah, so he probably won't be back for the next game though, which will be against the Nets. So the next Pacer game, they have to play the Nets twice in a week. Very odd, though. And now played the Nets three times to start the season in the first 32 games. 33 games, three times. So the Nets, do you have the Nets numbers up on you, Tony?
I do have the Nets numbers up. They are 20th in offense, 21st in defense, and 3rd in pace, which has fallen since they last played on Saturday.
Yeah, so we don't go too much. We didn't really do a preview of the Nets because the Nets just aren't that good of a team.
Well, I talked about it a little bit on that Pistons one.
Yeah.
But not a big one.
They're just not a good team. They're not that much fun to talk about. They've got a ton of injuries. You know, the last time the Pacers played them, only now, it was on Tuesday, 2 days ago. So some highlights from that game was Oladipo had 26 points.
Sabonis was great.
Yeah, Sabonis had what, a
17-8. Yeah. Another, he was working it in the restricted area.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Corey Joseph was really good. He was 5 of 7 with 15 points. Made four from three, like we talked about. He's made 15 in a row, but I think 6 rebounds was his season high. Him and Sabonis were both a plus 12. They were great. The bench was what really sold this one, which because of the injuries to Brooklyn, like their starting lineup is propped up okay, but then once their bench comes in, they just are a disaster.
Yeah, but their bench did have 42 points. It wasn't terrible. And AC had 14, 14, and 14.
Yeah, Joe Harris was a minus 14. He could score, but he couldn't stop at anything.
Yeah I'm just throwing out some numbers. It's not that it really matters. But the previous time the Patriots played the Nets, they were basically a different team because they had Russell and they had Lynn, and they beat them, I think, by, what was it, 6 that game? 140-134?
The first time, 140-131, yeah, at home.
Okay, I was a little bit off, about 3 points off. But, yeah. No,
blew them out of the gym, though. And then because these teams are so fast, I kind of always expect these games to be higher. Like 109 on the road is pretty good, especially after a 6-game homestand.
Yeah, but it was a weird kind of game. Pacers didn't actually get as many shots they usually got. They still shot 57%, but only took 76 shots, which is kind of their season average. I think is 82 or 83 right now. I want to say they're around there. So
something that is good is they smoked the Nets on the glass. They won 43-29 on the glass. The Nets never turned it over, but they were missing, and the Pacers were getting the rebound, which is the opposite of what I expect from them. So if they can do that again, there's no chance they lose this game.
Yeah, so this should be two easy wins, right? Hawks, Nets should be just two cruising wins.
Heart tells me the Hawks will be a hard win and the Nets will be an easy win.
Yeah, I think the Nets, Pacers have the Nets number because the Pacers, the thing about the Pacers is you can't beat them when you're trying to play their speed. I mean, I think some teams can, but they actually beat the team to try to play faster than the Cavs tried to play faster than them and couldn't beat them. You know what I mean? It's the team they lose to are the teams that slow them down.
The Cavs tried to play faster than them and just wore themselves out. You just can't.
Yeah, no, the Pacers I'd have to guess from the eye test, one of the best conditioned teams in the NBA at this point.
The only team that's outrun them is the Rockets, and they outrun everybody.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's right. The Rockets. I mean, it's because they're like perfectly built around James Harden.
Yeah, no, it's the different talent levels completely.
There's not a team in the East that can outrun outrun the Pacers. And if the Nets try to do what you know they've been trying to do, they're going to lose again because the Pacers will just outrun them because they're just great at that. Oladipo is his key. He loves him and Bogdanović are just great when they start running.
And it seems like recently he's been, like, saving his energy to just blow by guys in the fourth and gets the rim, and it's been successful. And the Nets have no wing defense at all, so I expect
He seems like sometimes he kind of, like, in that first half where he just tries to, like, find his spot and, like, guys get around. But then when they need him most, he's like, screw this. I'm just going to score 10 points. And that's what he does.
Yeah, and it's been working, so I'm not going to knock anything he's doing because
he occasionally tries to get his heat check where he just, like, tries to jack up threes and misses them pretty bad and tries to find a heat check moment. But besides that, he's been solid. And I imagine he'll have another good game against the Nets, right? He had 21 or 24 the first time and 26 last time.
Yeah. Yeah. 26 on 9 of 14 shooting. It's a really efficient game. Yeah,
really efficient. So,
yeah, I expect them to win. My X factor in this one, probably going to be Vic just because, you know, it's going to be an easy game for him to take over with, other guard injuries. They have to play a lot of wings at point guard, and Alan Crabb is a terrible defender, and it's just easy for Vic to do his thing against this Nets team. And they have no rim protection, so.
Yeah, so do we want to do butchers? Do we want to just skip it and we kind of hit it and just do scores?
I'm looking through their last – like, they had some decent scoring in their last game, but no one was really a butcher. Like, every single person on their team was a minus. Oh, no, Alan Crabb was a +2, so if I had to pick a butcher – Well, yeah, he was 4 of 6 from 3, though. So if he slows down a little bit, who knows? Yeah, I don't know what. I don't really have a butcher.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not really a butcher on this team. We tip the Pacers guys. It could be a big game. Turner could have a big game. Anybody? But
I will comment on the Nets that it's really sad they already aren't playing Jahlil Okafor. He is just not an NBA player.
Well, so I was just looking him up before this podcast, actually. And so he says he's not in shape yet.
Okay.
he blamed the Sixers for him not being in shape. So I don't know.
Okay.
No, maybe he'll get in shape. He needs another contract.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
It's sad his fall from grace, really.
I know. And
people thought he could be the number one pick a couple years ago, and obviously he didn't.
But maybe someday. Maybe someday.
It's just weird to the other side to see like a Duke player in his first year and Jason Tatum who's just killing it.
Yeah, I hope he can maybe play a little in this game so I can watch him because I haven't gotten a big chance to do that. But really, really sad to see him not play. Stauskas, the guy they also traded for, who was on the Sixers, who apparently can't condition, played 15 minutes. So I don't believe that excuse for a second.
Well, side note on Okafor is that Duke team that won the title with him and Winslow, in hindsight, looks very overrated.
Yeah, it does. I can't believe
guys who just
those are good college players though. Like that's
So, what's your score for this game?
At home, you know, they won by 9 with the two best players on the Nets playing, and presumably neither of them will play in this one. Probably 19-20 point win. Let's go 115-95.
So I think it will just be like this will be like the Hawks game that you have where it's
okay.
They win by 12 to 15. So let's say they win like 110-98, but it'll feel like a blowout.
Okay. Yeah. I understand how that could happen. And
you know, they played them close because they play so fast. Nets have played them close a couple times.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the first game of the season. Like, the Nets are such a variable team because they have so many good three-point shooters that one night they could just all be hitting. And you're just
they don't have that anymore, though.
Yeah, they still have Crabb and Harris.
They have guard. They just have no guard who can shoot. That's just,
I know. But we'll see. I don't think that they'll have any trouble in this one. That's how they would lose is that something like that happening.
So if we're both right, the Pacers will head in, 19-14?
To Christmas,
Which would be a
huge... Hey, they automatically have a winning record at Christmas, which is great.
Which would probably put them... Right now, the East is clustered from the four to the basically the 9-10 spots are clustered. So yeah, you got to keep winning because it's going to, you know, I'm trying to look at my, I mean, like maybe the Knicks will fall off just because I'm not sure Porzingis can, he keeps getting dinged every few games. And they played 19 home games and their take was 14-5 at home. So that could be a team that could fall off maybe, but there's 10 teams keeping great spots. So
I want to say the Heat will surge eventually, but they just lost the Hawks. So
yeah, so maybe the Knicks and the Heat are the teams that fall out. But what I'm saying, the Patriots end up anywhere right now, basically from 4-8 if they make the playoffs, because it's probably going to be with all within 2-5 even by the time the season ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the Patriots, though, they haven't played a ton of home games. You know, they're 17, their home is 17-14, which isn't like a huge difference like some other teams.
Right, and they alternate the rest of the year. So it's besides, they'll have one crazy road trip and that's it.
Yeah, that probably a West Coast one where actually it's not as hard to go out West because you have to play Phoenix and both late LA teams.
Yeah, yeah. And we, well, it's kind of lucky that it's later for those two because those teams will be full on tanking.
Oh, yeah. So that is it for his Locked On Pacers. Thanks to Indiana Sports Cover for partnering with us and letting us promote our podcast on their site. You can follow me at FriedmanAdam5. You can follow Tony at TeasedMBA. Anything else we need to promote or hit on any sponsorships?
I don't think so.
All right. I think coming later in the week, I think Tony is going to do the preview for the Hawks game. I'm going to do the recap on Thursday, and then we're either going to have a show Friday or Saturday or both days before the Christmas break. We're going to take the 24th, 25th, and 26th off. That has been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.